Hey, it's Dan Melnick. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zing, and I'm proud to be a sponsor of this podcast. So please check us out today as we can help fuel your business growth. MyZing.io. Thank you.
So, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Yep, okay. So I'm Andy Sangeera and I live in the UK. I'm a global campaigner and I've been campaigning for 34 years. I started talking about violence against women, and more recently, in the last sort of 15 plus years, I've been supporting refugees and migrants. And also, I've been using a lot of technology for good. And I've now have become, a global campaigner, and I've traveled around the world 3 times. I feel very lucky and grateful. I was in India last year for G20 twice for lots of events and things like that. So for me, now I'm at a stage in my life where I do a lot of mentoring, paying it forward and making sure that I'm supporting the next generation of young people, a bit like yourself.
So you have been doing this from a long time.
I have.
So how is that experience, and express some of your experiences?
Okay, so things have changed a lot. So when I started campaigning and doing the work, we didn't have computers, we didn't have the technology, so things were very different. There was lots of different challenges trying to do that work. And obviously you have to change with the times, you have to evolve, you have to move. So when I was at school, or when I was as young as you, I probably wouldn't have realized that I would be able to be logging onto a machine on a computer and I would be talking to somebody thousands of miles away in India. So, people would write a letter to people in India, or people would phone and the family would be waiting in a phone box waiting to say, look, here I am. Can you? And they'll say, Sai, your Auntie Mandy in England is on the phone, and then you have to go in the phone box. And it was so different. So for me, I have seen things really change in real time. But the sad thing is that when I started campaigning, I was talking about domestic violence and abuse, and those things have not changed. Actually, things have become even worse, because now, as we use technology, we use social media platforms. It is amazing because it helps us to connect with people, but it also has a dark side and a danger where people don't recognize it, where people will upload images or things for themselves on Snapchat or other Instagram, and people sometimes will be exploited or be abused by people. People may join different sites to make friends with people and sometimes may get exploited. So I think, for me, I've now moved my work and evolving, and I'm going around the world looking at tackling biases in technology as well. And I've done hackathons in 144 countries with young people around the world, looking at how do I help young people get involved in technology. I mean, when I went to India last year, I was so impressed with how it's evolved and how much it's changed, because I went about 14, 15 years prior to that. And then to see how the city and the country has changed, and it was just amazing. And then to see everyone has a smartphone, everyone is engaged with technology. But I'm also aware that there are some parts of the world in Latin America, in Africa, where people don't have access to that. So for me, I make it my business now to make sure that young people are given those opportunities and we leave no one behind. So in the UK, just like the world, we had COVID. So England is a very rich country. But the problem is, when COVID happened and all the children had to stay at home, lots of children didn't have internet, lots of children didn't have computers, and a lot of people didn't have smartphones. So I think when I tell young people around the world, and they're looking at India, England being G20, in G7, one of the richest countries, how can people and young people not have access to technology? So for me, I then went to my business partners and friends and colleagues who had big companies to say, look, if you have any old computers, can you clean them up, give them to me? I need to give these to young people. If you have a smartphone that you're not using, because every time an iPhone comes, we change it and we end up with another one and another one. And lots of people had lots of phones and technology that were still working. So we cleaned it and gave it to other people. So for me, it's really important that we pay things forward and that we level up.
So you work around the world, and I'm sure you might have seen women and domestic violence everywhere on the planet. So, and you have been in this from years.
Yeah.
So what changed, in this evolution, what changed that you're observing in domestic violence all over the world?
Okay. So now we're looking at technology, we're looking at raising awareness. So, you know, like I've been born and raised in England more than five decades ago, and things were very different. So there was an honour and a family isard where people will not report domestic violence. They would stay in an abusive relationship because their families will say, look, you know, we don't want you to get divorced. We don't want you to do that. But I think even around the world now, that shame, that stigma, that concept of isard has kind of evolved and changed a lot. So now, if people are experiencing domestic violence, people are bringing their children back home, they're supporting them. There is more support there and there isn't as much shame. But I think years ago, as new communities were arriving, they didn't know their rights. They didn't know how to access support. I think now that the information is there, people know how to get that support.
And what changes that you are observing now?
So now what I'm observing is that, you know, young people feel more empowered to speak up and call out the community. I've also seen young boys come forward and talk about being abused. So, you know, this macho culture where boys would not speak up that they have been victims of abuse. So now I think that I have seen, for me, I support anyone, regardless of their religion, their ethnicity, their culture, their gender, their age, disability. I will always support anyone. And what I have seen is now that there is a lot more awareness around the world. There is also technology where people know how to access for help. And I think that now the police and other law enforcements around the world recognize this. But we also know that women will stay in an abusive relationship for at least 30 plus times before they leave that abusive relationship. So we need to empower people to make people feel financially independent and have control over their lives. So for me, it's really important that, you know, people know their rights. So if somebody comes to England or America on a spouse visa, they married a Canadian or a British citizen, they sometimes are so scared because they're worried about being deported because the families will threaten them. And it's about educating these women and also young children in the UK from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh or Afghanistan. Families are forcing them into a marriage. And this year is 20 years since I was one of the founders of the UK Forced Marriage Unit. So people in India and Pakistan can't believe that these practices are happening. And so sometimes families will want to try and control their child. They want their child to marry somebody they picked, or they don't like the person dating out of caste or different religion. So they try to control the situation. So we're trying to educate families and the young people. We're trying to sort of tell them about their rights. And it's really important. And one of the other things that I would say to you, that there is nothing really honourable about abuse and we need to call it out. We need to empower. And I also work with a lot of young men to become feminists, to stand up for women's rights. So it's really important that young people like you who have influence, Sai, that you are being a voice and you're supporting women in the community. And if we see something happening in our community or we're seeing our neighbours being abused or something, it's really important that we stand up and say, no, hang on, this is not right. You know, this is not how we do this. You cannot marry your 14-year-old daughter. You know, even though the governments in these countries have rules and saying you can't marry by this age, but sometimes people will do nagars, they will do different kind of religious ceremonies and not those marriages. But it's really important that if we know it's wrong, then we call it out and we have to be brave enough to call it out. And I think for me, that has been why I've been around for such a long time, that I'm not, you know, you have shows like Britain's like, you know, the Pop Idol or the X Factor or something like that. And people come in, they have this 5 minutes of fame and they're everywhere. For me, it's about sustainability, and it's really important that I'm not a one-hit wonder, that actually I'm sustainable, I'm continuing to stay in my lane, I talk about issues that are important to me. So I'm very keen to not be everything to everybody and be nothing. I'd rather be what I want to be, stay in my lane around the violence against women or using technology for good, and looking at how do I engage the next generation. So I'm very clear about who I am, what I do.
And what needs to be done in order to reduce the number and reduce this negativity?
Okay, so there are things that you can do in your communities as well around the world. It's really important that we raise awareness. We educate the girl child as well, that she knows her right. It's also about educating communities and families. And one of the things that in India over the years that I have done is by helping girls get into employment, the families get dependent on their income. Then they don't force them into a marriage when they're a child. They then realize, actually, do you know what? We need her to have an education. We want her to work. So you have to take small steps. It's also about understanding the culture nuances. It's understanding the culture, and it's understanding and saying to families in the community, look, this is not going to happen. This is not right. So like even in India, Prime Minister Modi ended Tripul Talaq, and people were like, what the hell is he doing? But he did that to try and end women's rights, you know, end the violence against women. Because actually what would happen is somebody would just say Talaq, Talaq three times and think that they can just divorce somebody. But it's not as simple as that. There is a whole legal framework. So I think that what we have to do is, you know, work with governments, raise awareness. And we also know that violence against women is a real issue globally around the world. There are issues with young men harassing women. They, you know, think it's acceptable. And we need to educate boys about respect and not tell girls what to wear. It is so important because, you know, I was involved when Jyoti Singh was, you know, murdered on a bus, and I was campaigning and we were raising awareness. My friend did a film about this and interviewed some of those people, Leslie Irwin did. And what I'm saying to you, that it's really important that we don't wait for a really high profile case to happen, that every day that we take right steps to be good, upstanding citizens, that we try to be led with our moral compass. And that also, you know, I'm very passionate about young people using social media and using technology for good. But it's not acceptable that we use technology to get clicks on social media, that we hurt somebody else in the process. Because, you know, what we put out to the universe is what's going to come back to us. And people do not understand this, but it's really important. Because I have seen women, you know, not be nice to somebody, almost bully or gaslight or be a narcissist to another woman. And they're filming it and they like think it's acceptable. I mean, I was somewhere in another country where women were going away, smacking a guy and coming away and making a video and thought it was funny. And I said, hang on, if the boy had done that to you, you would cry abuse and you would call the police. So you're telling me that it's okay for you to do that. So I think that sometimes it is important that we educate and try to show people that your behavior is not right.
And you have been in this from a long time, and you're seeing this from many years, and you said it is increasing, but it is not decreasing. So how technology is contributing to this, and what do you say to the technology leaders who are actually making this?
So I think, you know what, big tech has a real responsibility to look at the algorithms. It has a thing to look at what they're putting out there. So, you know, if somebody is putting out revenge porn of somebody, or they're putting out different things on somebody, they're putting out images and people are sharing something that was shared in private, or something that a conversation happened in private, and then somebody puts it out on social media, that the police take it seriously and recognize it as a crime. And if somebody has been befriended on a dating site, shadi.com, and marries somebody who was already married, but they exploited them financially, that there are processes and procedures in place. As I said, technology is fantastic, but there are dark sides of the technology, and there is real danger on the dark web. People are selling their organs, they're selling people on the dark web. So we need to look at this, and how do we address that? You know, Just because we're on the right side of the technology, there is another underworld of the technology, which is the dark web, where, you know, people are uploading horrendous, awful images of abuse and sexual abuse of children, and people are paying to watch this, or people are paying money to join different dark websites to learn about, you know, terrorism or learning bad things. So we need a responsibility that governments are working with the tech companies, and the tech companies are shutting down those real bad situations and also stopping the scams. Because actually, one of the things that you will see, sometimes it's so easy to clone a website and make something. And I think I'm buying a holiday from you, but actually your website is not real. And before you know it, the money has transferred into your bank account. People are using technology to transfer money, and they're doing it. I don't know what your technology is called in India, but, you know, if you were going in like Apple Pay to pay for things and that, and people can scam people's cards and the banks are not open. People can't report their card. Before they know it, you know, somebody has run up a lot of debt on their card. So I think, you know, that it's important that corporates, the technology, the police and the governments are working together around the world to tackle this.
So how to make internet safe? Do you have suggestions or advices or ideas that will help internet?
So I think that we have to take... So I think that we all have to take a personal responsibility. We can't just keep blaming the technology companies. It's really important that I'm responsible. Because if I walked on the road, I would not give you my password. I would not be sharing my personal data with you. But people are so desperate to be on social media that their common sense goes out the window. They don't see the risk and the dangers. And because, you know, sometimes when we download an app, we just click yes, but you're not realizing what you're signing away. You don't know what data you're giving away. And sometimes people will use the same password because it's easy to, you know, memorize. But it's really important that we pick corrupted and long, complicated passwords, and we keep them. We don't put them somewhere. It's really important that we don't share our passwords with other people. It's really important that, you know, once you finish a transaction or something doesn't feel right, if the website doesn't look real, do a check, give it a call, go on the internet, look at it, double check and read the reviews on it. Because those are the sort of things that I think we all have to take a personal responsibility for going out there to use technology. As I said, it's amazing. It can connect us and do wonderful things. But it's also about staying smart and being sensible and staying safe. Those are the most important things that we have to do. And I also think that, you know, we need people to take responsibility. Sometimes we share videos or tweets and things because we think it's funny, but actually we shouldn't be spreading hate. Sometimes people might send a joke about, you know, a different culture or a different person or something like that. And we think, oh, it's funny and we're going to keep forwarding it. But we need to understand that sometimes we're a part of the problem and we need to call it out. Sometimes people are famous and popular on social media because people are buying into their nonsense. So I think you have to look at it. Does this in line with my values? Does this Mandy Sangera, who I'm following on social media, line with my values? And so you could say, well, actually, do you know what? Mandy is not very nice to the Muslim or the Sikh community or the Hindu community. She's putting out racist or derogatory Zionism or xenophobia contact, and I don't really want to follow her. You know, she's not cool, actually. She's not a nice person. So I think we have to think about this, because in real world, in the real life, would you really follow somebody that was a horrible person? Would you really follow somebody and make them your friend? No. So why would you do it online? So I always say to people, if you wouldn't do it in real life, then don't do it online. And I also say to my nieces and nephews and friends, is like being popular on social media is like owning a house on a Monopoly board. It's not real. I don't know if you know the game Monopoly. You do. Yeah. And it's not real. So you have this game and you can buy this house and do this. And the thing is, it's fine having followers, but I can tell you, Sai, I can count my friends on one hand. Okay. If I had trouble in my life or I needed something, I could count my friends on one hand, not the thousands of followers on social media.
And The world is interconnected today. I'm sure you will be working with different governments in different countries. So what do you talk when you go in public talks and, you know, when you interact with, you know, who are, you know, the public representatives? What exactly you will say and what they will say about the statistics?
Okay, so for me, when I turn up at, to speak around the world, and I'm very blessed and lucky to do that, I mean, I'm off to Dubai next month. And for me, it's about bringing my authentic self to the table. I don't pretend to be somebody else. I don't pretend to be an expert in everything. I stay in my lane, but I come in and talk about issues that are important for me. So when I'm given these opportunities, I'm being very clear about why I'm there. I'm not pretending to be something that I'm not. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to be turning up and talking about medicine and talking about certain procedures. So it's really important that you know that you're in your lane. It's really important that you know where to go. It is really important that we kind of bring our authentic self to the table here. So one of the things, I will give you an example. When we employ people and we want to hire people, sometimes people are too scared to say to somebody, oh, I have a hidden disability, or, you know, this is my gender, or this is my religion, or this is my culture, or this is that. And people are not spending their real time being themselves. So I think that it's so important. So one of the things I would say to young people who are listening today, please try and be the best version of yourself. Don't try and be somebody else, because people will see through that. It is really important that, you know, we stay safe online and we use technology for good. You also need to look at it that, yes, we can make money, we can do all these great things online and do all these great things. But it's also about sharing your data, your information, and ask yourself, do I really need to share this much? Because actually, for me, the secret success to my successes is about staying humble and staying gracious, and then putting things out there. Because actually, when we're kind of talking about me, 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 it turns off the audiences. And for me, like, I work with children all over the world, young people, by mentoring and giving them opportunities to come and join me. You know, I've been very lucky with my career that I've been able to campaign, speak in the House of Representatives in America, the UK House of Lords and Commons, the European Parliament, the United Nations, at NASA, and so many other places. World Economic Forum, places that people would only dream of, or they get to one place. And the reason that I have been able to do those different things is because I was being myself. I wasn't being somebody else. And I was being clear about my lane, about where I need to be. And also, I wasn't being complacent. So sometimes people get to one place, Sai, and they think, oh, yeah, I made it. And then they're not sharing and being kind. And I'll give you an example. Last year when I came to India, I met lots of women who were like just saying, oh, yeah, we're in G20, G20. And they were not being very nice to some people. And I said to these women, listen, G20 is going from India in September to Brazil. I will be invited to Brazil, which I have been, to go this year. But some of you women will not be given that opportunity. So what I'm going to say to you is, please stay humble. Do not be horrible to other people, and just stay in your lane. Because actually, if we step on people to get to the top, if we fall, we may need those people on the bottom. And if you've hurt those people, they may not want to help you. So I think that it is really important that we stay humble, that we don't cut somebody up for a shortcut to success. As I always say to people, we can't climb a ladder with our hands in our pocket. We have to do the work.
The technology is available, and humans are able to access the information from videos or audio, or it can be text in different mediums and different platforms in the internet. So there's wide information, and I can able to access global information, but still, why it is not, you know, the technology is increasing and we are advancing as human beings. We are solving the, you know, higher level problems. We are interacting, you being in UK and me being in India, we can able to interact and communicate like this. We are advancing on other side, but still, why this negativity, and this, is this because of illiteracy, or people who are not educating themselves or they are not.
I think you've answered the question yourself. I think a mixture of all of those things. But I think that you have to ask yourself, why am I going onto technology? Why am I using a certain platform? Because there is thousands and if not millions of apps out there. I only have a handful on my smartphone because I only use the ones that I need. I don't go out and download every app for the sake of it. Because people are promoting social marketing and social engineering and giving us all these apps, and whatever the new trend is, people will use it. So what I will say to you, it's really important that we look at using the apps that we need. I look at it, what would I want out of it? Sometimes I have to go to an event and I have to download an app because it's the only way to get around the event. But then I look at it and think, actually, I don't need this now. I can delete it. I don't need it. Or I think that you have to look at it. What is it that you want? And one of the things I would also say to the young people and your audience is, look, think globally, but also act locally, because it's really important that we fix our house in order first before we try and fix the world. So for me, it's really important that I have my house in order, that I have things in place for me that I need before I could help somebody. I can't pour from an empty cup. So I have to refill my cup before I can help somebody else.
And people who are watching and listening to this, where they can find you and where they can learn from you.
So what I would say to people is that if they follow me on LinkedIn or Twitter, I will follow back. If there's people have a question that they're not sure about, then please come back and ask me. I'm happy to answer those questions. Sometimes I may not respond right away. Sorry, it's just because I am quite busy or I'm traveling or something like that. But I will respond. If you send me a request at Mandy Sangera at LinkedIn, I will answer questions. Please feel free to follow and listen to some of the other podcasts and other conversations that I've had. Please feel free to connect and ask for a career advice if you're not sure where you want to go with your career next, or you're looking for mentors, or you're not sure how to go about asking for a mentor, or you don't know how to build your social capital. So I don't know the word that you may use in India, but the thing in the UK, the concept of social capital is your network becoming your net worth. So for me, I'm in the middle. I have a circle, and my inner circle is my family. Then I have my friends and colleagues. Then I have people on my social media. But if I needed to do a certain task, for instance, I wanted to lose weight, my inner family will not be very good because they love cooking and feeding me. So I then would look in my second network and do I have friends? But then I might say no. But actually, there's a colleague of mine that runs a gym who's a personal trainer. I need to bring that person into my network, into my inner circle to help me to achieve that goal. So I think for us, it's about having a wide network of people. It's about bringing the right people to the project or the goal that you have. And how do we bring those people together to buy into our vision to help us to do those things? So what I would say for you and your audience is, don't be shy to ask somebody for help. The worst somebody could say is no. If you are going to reach out to somebody on social media, you reached out to me and you asked me to. And I said, OK, I'll come on. I know I'm a bit busy, but I'm sorry that I wasn't able to do it the first time. But it's also, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I think, let go of that fear of asking. Also, don't be scared of failure, because failure is a part of the success. It's about the process. It's really important that we learn from our mistakes and we move forward. And I think what I would also say is, if you have good friends with you in your network who have the same vision and goal, be prepared to look at partnering up and working together and collaborating, because we're stronger together.
I'll put all your links in the description, also in my website and also on the screen as well. People who find the video and audio anywhere in the internet can able to see this and can able to learn from you. At last, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
Yeah, so I watched you because I always want to know who I'm talking to. So I was really impressed. And I think it's great to see you using social media to raise your profile and connect with people around the world. I'm going to give you a tip. So one of the things I would like to say to you is, when you're interviewing these people, what are you hoping to get out of that? Are you trying to build your social network, your capital? What are you trying to do? Or are you just raising your profile by building a podcast and becoming a great podcaster? What is it that you're hoping to do?
I want to create a positive change on the planet, introducing experts like you who are trying to bring
change for
the betterment.
Okay, that's really fantastic. So also, this is about being a business and being sustainable. This is about you having bigger visions and bigger goals. So what I would say to you maybe is that when we build our network of different people, that you look at a sustainable model, which is great because the podcasting is fantastic. But so for me, when I meet young people like you, I want to help them to go to the next level. It's really important that I pay it forward. I help people to grow. So I would say to you, okay, let's have a conversation after this and reach out to me. Let's look at how do we take your podcast to the next level. Even though you have thousands of followers listening in and watching this and you're inspiring young people, but what is the next level of this that you want to achieve? So for me, when I meet young people, when I meet podcasters or I meet other people that interview me, I also want to know how can I help them? What can we do? Sometimes people have a goal, they have a vision, and they're not sure how to go about it. So for me, it's really important that, you know, I also support young people like yourself who are doing podcasting to raise good awareness of good people around the world and bringing them into their network and bringing them exposure. And that is really fantastic. But it's about you. What do you do to the next level? So I want to give you advice. It's really important for people like myself in positions of power that we pay it forward and we help young people to become sustainable, to become financially independent, to look at them, given the opportunities to be connected to other people or connect them to other people who they could interview in India or somewhere like that.
If I can able to get a good sponsor who can support my podcast, because I'm not earning anything from this podcast, this is a social service that I'm doing for free of cost. If somebody can support me in any sponsor, that will be very helpful.
Okay, so that's the thing. So this is where, you know, when people do podcasting, I meet a lot of people. There's two new podcasts gone on my LinkedIn yesterday. And what I would say to those people is, look, how are you making this sustainable? It is nice to meet people and have conversations. But if it's not bringing you monetary income, it's not bringing you money, it's great to do it for the love of those things, but you also have to have other income. So for me, as an activist and a campaigner, I have money coming in from real estate. I do consultancy. I do projects. I do talks around the world. So I have my house in order to bring different income in. And then I have to be able to go and do good in the world, if that makes sense. So it's really important that we build our foundations brick by brick. And it's important to look at sponsorship. So if you're doing this, this is about looking in your local community. What businesses do you have in your area who would be willing to get behind you? Because you could say, look, actually, I'm connected to these people. These are the people that I have now interviewed. These are on my network. The thing is, you and I can do this interview. You can put it on LinkedIn. I'll share it. You'll connect with some of my followers. But actually, if it doesn't bring you any money, or it doesn't make you sustainable, then it's not going to achieve anything. And you probably wasn't expecting me to say this to you, but I believe in being honest with young people because, again, I'm very passionate about helping young people. I'm passionate about giving them a seat at the decision-making table. It's really important that we help young people. So I'm going to make a pledge to you that you reach out to me outside of this meeting and we'll look at seeing, you know, to help you with to get a goal. So I'm going to give you, you know, an action plan, how to get from A to B, because actually I have 3 decades of experience, nearly, you know, a long time of doing this. And I know how to build things on a different level. And it's really important that I share that knowledge with young people. So for me, it's not just about coming on and having a chat to you saying, oh, here, this is Mandy. This is what Mandy's done. This is what Mandy's done. That's great. People can Google and look at me. But for me, I'm in at a stage in my life that I can pay it forward. I'm in a stage in my life, in my career, that I want to help the next generation. I'm really passionate about making sure that when people have a product or they have an idea, that they're thinking about how do they make it sustainable? How do they make money out of this? How do they do a pitch to get sponsorship?
So apart from this, I'm a DevOps engineer. That's my full-time job. I'm a software engineer and a DevOps engineer. That's from which I'm making money. But if I can able to get more projects, I can work for them so that I can make money there. And I can do this social service even if I'm not getting paid.
No, well, it's really good. And I think it's really commendable that you're doing this of service. And it's fantastic because, you know, for me, I love like what I do. And a lot of the work that I do is done on a voluntary basis or giving away money and helping people because it's so important for me to pay it forward because, you know, life has to be of service. Life has to be of impact. You know, it for me, it's about standing up for social justice, promoting equality and of service. These are my values of Sikhism and Hinduism that, you know, we pay it forward, that we help others. So those things are what are ingrained in me as a person. And I would say to you that, you know, it's fantastic that you have a great job and you're very bright and you do those things. But it's also about like, what am I trying to do? What am I trying to achieve? And I'm saying that to all of your audience. Sometimes we have blocks in our journey. We have mental blocks, financial blocks, you know, lack of ideas sometimes or vision and goals. It's about how do we unblock them? How do we undo those? Maybe what we'll do one time, if you want to, we can do a workshop online instead of a talk and maybe look at running a workshop for young people, bring people in on a Zoom call or something, and we can have a conversation with people to say, right, okay, what is the problem? How do we connect it? How do we bring people together? How do we share resources and ideas? And how do we collaborate? So I'm happy to do that later in the year for you.
Definitely. I'll communicate with you after this about that. Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yeah, of course you can.
Also, yes. Can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast website, internet, social media?
You can do whatever. You can do whatever you like. You can do whatever you like. It's fine. Yep, that's fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.